الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنه لا يحب المستكبرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Among all the spiritual ailments that a person may have, the one which is extremely deadly and perhaps one finds the most strict words about this particular disease is the disease of takabbur. The word takabbur in Arabic means arrogance, that a person starts to view themselves as high or mighty. And the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith mubarakah very clearly and explicitly mentioned that لا يدخل الجنة, that person will not enter into Jannah, من كان في قلبه, in whose heart there is مِذْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِّن كِبْر, that person in whose heart there is even an atom's worth of takabbur or pride, that person will not enter Jannah. And this is why our mashayikh, they stress that if a person wants to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's extremely important for a person to work on eradicating and removing this disease of takabbur and arrogance from their heart. The reason for this is because Allah Ta'ala in one hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says that kibriyai, or having pride, being majestic, is my cloak. It's the cloak of Allah Ta'ala. And when a person tries to enter inside my cloak, he pulls my cloak or shares my cloak, then I will break literally the neck of that person. very strong words, and sometimes a person and muhaddithin have commented that why is the word neck mentioned here? And the reason they give is because this person, mutakabbir person, he raised his head up high. So the usul in Sharia is that jaza min jinsil amal, that the retribution is going to be the same as the action itself. So he wanted to raise his head up high, so as a result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his neck down. Because in Quran, only this kibriyai, this majesty and might belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And there's no one who can share in this majesty and might with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mistake that Shaitan made. Normally there's a lot of kalam that the ulama have done, that what was the main mistake, what was the main major sin of Shaitan? Was it hasad or was it takabbur? And a lot of the ulama, they said that actually the root of his downfall was not hasad, was actually his takabbur. Takabbur led to his hasad. Why? Because if you go back to that story, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to command Shaitan and all the angels to do sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said that ana khayrun min, that I am better than him. This word ana, that I, this was the manifestation of his takabbur. In other words, it started from this I, that I am better. And then he started giving those dalil, those raising different kinds of objections, and started giving proofs to buttress and support his objections. But what was that one major fault that Shaitan had? What was the intoxication? Now, if you think about this, the Shaitan was not an atheist. He was not an agnostic. He was in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was aware of Allah ta'ala's presence. He was being commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Iman bil Mushahida. And still there was something which intoxicated Shaitan, which led to his refusal, led to him refusing to do sajda. So what was that intoxication? What blinded him? It wasn't any kind of liquid or liquor. It was this intoxication of his own pride. This I, that I am someone, I am mighty, this kamal that he attributed, this perfection that he attributed to his own self. And that's what led to him being rejected and denied, thrown away from that assembly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran mentions that innahu la yuhibbul mustakbirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the people who are arrogant, people who have this disease of kibr inside of them. And what does this mean? That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love such a person, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with that person. Allah is displeased with that person. Which means that unless and until a person makes tawbah of this sin, no one can actually become someone who is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot draw ourselves close to Allah ta'ala. We cannot become pleasing in the eyes of Allah ta'ala. We cannot earn the radha and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until and unless we make tawbah of this sin of takabbur. And this is such a deadly sin that if individuals have it, it leads to their downfall. And if collectively societies have it, then it leads to their downfall also as a collective unit. And in Quran, there are so many stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about various groups and various societies who are very strong, financially strong, they were physically very strong, that a lot of quwwat, a lot of strength and taqat and power and also wealth. And because of that, all these different ni'mah and blessings that they enjoyed, it got to them. And they started viewing themselves as if we are also someone, as if we are also something. They attributed that majesty and all those, that wealth and that power, that strength to their own work, to their own efforts, to their own doing. And in that state of intoxication of that power and wealth, they lost their awqat, they lost their own origins. And as a result, they started committing acts of disobedience, and eventually they were destroyed. Allah Ta'ala sent different types of punishments upon them. So if you look in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this story about Qawmi Ad. It's mentioned so many in different places in Quran, and the Mufassirin have written that this was a very strong society, Qaum-e-Aad, and the people, the individuals living in the society were also very, very well built and strong individuals. Their height was about 60 hands, you know, 60, the length of 60 hands, that was their height. And they were so physically strong that they used to carve mountains and used to build homes inside those mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions about them in Quran that lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad, that we never created the likes of this qaum before. And they were very, very strong. And they also were aware of their strength. And in that awareness that where they were noticing their strength, they became arrogant. And their arrogance led them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then eventually the result was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an azab, a punishment upon them. There was a very windstorm, and it was such an intense and devastating and destructive windstorm that it just smashed all of them, smashed each individual on the ground, and they were just scattered. They just all passed away, died, and their bodies were all over the ground, as if like date palms, you know, when it flies away, it's just all over the place. Allah Ta'ala just completely wiped away the whole society from that area. So arrogance it's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like to see in individuals. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, banda, and Allah ta'ala wants to see that bandagi, what you call in Arabic ubudiyya, that we are the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What suits us is to manifest and to express that ubudiyya, that servanthood and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, you are our Rabb and we are your servants. That's what Allah Ta'ala wants to see from us. And when a person tries to arrogate that might or majesty to their own selves, then it's as if they're competing or trying to share in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this attribute of kibriyai. And that's when it leads to their downfall and to their disgrace. So you can, you know, at a collective level, it destroys societies, and also at an individual level, it leads to the downfall. It leads to the downfall of that individual. In Bani Israel, there was a person, very worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Balam Ba'ur. And he did so much ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that ibadah, he became arrogant. This is another thing, that a person can become arrogant, whatever kamal or perfection, it doesn't necessarily have to be a perfection in their dunya. They might view something in their deen and then try to attribute that sifat to their own selves, to their own doing. So sometimes even religious people, because of their religiosity and because of their nek amal, they can also very easily become arrogant. And that's exactly what happened to this person from Bani Israel, that he did a lot of ibadah, but he became arrogant because of that ibadah, and eventually he gave in to the desires of his nafs. And then as a result, 400 years of ibadah were just completely wasted away. He was thrown, he was just rejected. And everything, all his efforts were wasted. So whether at a collective level or at an individual level, there's so many stories that any time a person exhibits or manifests this takabbur, it brings a person down. In one hadith mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that if a person passes away from this world and they pass away in such a state that they don't have three burdens on their shoulder, then that person will directly enter into Jannah. And if a person passes away and they don't have three burdens on their shoulder, then that person has direct entry into Jannah. What are those three burdens that a person should not have? So in that hadith, it's mentioned the first thing, that person does not have the burden of any qarz or loan on his back. Secondly, that person does not have the burden of causing any injustice to any other person, khiyana, that he hasn't done any khiyana, he hasn't violated his trust or pact with anyone else. He doesn't have that burden on his back. And third sifat is that person who doesn't have the burden of arrogance on his shoulder. which means that if a person can save himself from these three things, that they die in such a state where they don't owe anyone any money, and they haven't done khiyana, they haven't broken their promises or their pacts or pledges, or any such thing. They haven't been khain, and number three, that they were able to save themselves from takabbur. Then for such a person, it'll be very easy to enter into Jannah. This is a principle that we have in our deen, that when a person says something big, person attributes bigness to themselves, then if a person makes tawbah, then that sin can be wiped away. However, if a person doesn't make tawbah, then that act will bring a person crashing down. And so the next thing is that there are some actions, there are some areas where a person might be more prone to this disease of arrogance. There are different things that can actually ignite takabbur, give rise to the takabbur in a person's heart. One of them is ilm. And this could be both knowledge of the deen and knowledge of the dunya. That person who has more knowledge, if he views himself as an alim, scholar, sheikh, he gets pride, he gets takabbur. And that's why our mashayikh, they say that the test of knowledge is pride. This happened to the Jews, the Yahud, that because of their ilm, they were the Maulvis and the Muftis of their day. Back then, at the time of the Prophet, they were the people who were the Ahl-e Kitab. And any time any person had any question, any ilmi question, they used to go to the Jews, the ulama of the Jews. And they prided themselves on their knowledge that they had. But because of their knowledge, they also became victim of takabbur. They also became arrogant. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that in Quran about the Jews, that it was due to their knowledge, their verses, their scripture, that led them to arrogance. So this is something which a person needs to be aware of, that when a person grows in knowledge, a person ideally should grow and should increase in humility, in ajizi, as opposed to increasing in arrogance and pride. Then there's another thing which can also cause arrogance inside a person, which is ibadat. And this is quite strange, because ibadat normally is something which draws a person close to Allah. But that's why this sin is so deep and so dangerous, that even in those otherwise dini acts of worship, if a person is not careful about their heart, if a person does not do tazkiyah of their heart of this particular disease, then even that ibadat, that person is praying their nawafil, she's reading Quran, they're doing their zikr, and then all of a sudden they start viewing themselves as something. Just like Shaitan, that because of all of his worship, he said that I'm something. I'm a pious worshipper, a great worshipper, that makes him think highly of himself. So this is a second reason why. And there are many other reasons. Sometimes it's person's family, their lineage. If you come from a noble family, noble father, powerful father, person might have takabbur. Sometimes it's beauty, your husn, jamal. Person feels that I'm beautiful, and that increases the pride or arrogance of that person. And this is a particular kind of arrogance which is called vanity. Normally people are beautiful, they have this inside of them. This can happen to men, this can happen to women also. When she feels that I'm beautiful, and it can grow. Person becomes a victim of vanity and self-love. And that can also bring a person down. Sometimes a person, it's about his wealth or the money. That when you have a lot of money, then that money also increases arrogance. It spoils them. So when a person understands all these different causes of arrogance, then we also have to understand that this arrogance can be manifested in three different ways. The highest and perhaps the most dangerous way that this takabbur manifests itself is when a person becomes arrogant in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happened to Fir'aun and to Nimrud. Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Just the fact to be able to make that statement shows to you how much arrogance. This is the ultimate takabbur, that he said that I am Rabbukumul A'la, I am the highest Lord. That he started thinking of himself as a god, na'uzubillah. That's arrogance in terms of one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at a second level, person can have arrogance about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what the mushrikeen in Makkah had. They used to say that if only this Quran was revealed on a good person, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but someone else, then we would accept the deen of Islam. Yani they did istihza, they mocked and ridiculed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was because of their takabbur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with us. He is one of us, he eats like us, he drinks like us, he stays with us. So if this was revealed on someone very special or someone more noble, then we would have accepted this message. And just like that, this is something we can all think about, that the mushrikeen in Makkah, they had takabbur with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today you find people who have takabbur with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mock and ridicule the sunnah and say, they might not just say this with their own words, but through their actions they say that we are beyond the sunnah, we are above the sunnah. Sunnah was for a different age, this dress was a different age, that lifestyle was purana, with old age, now we need to... This is collective arrogance, that we are, whether in the name of Zamana or in the name of society, we view ourselves to be beyond the teachings of the Sunnah. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Quran also, that about Shaitan, he also thought that he was better or greater or above the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what happens here also. A person might think that I'm better or greater or above the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or above the hukum or the teachings of the sunnah of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people often say that it doesn't apply to me. These hukum, they don't apply to me. These sunnah teachings don't apply to me. I'm beyond that. Or this day and age is beyond that. Or this system that we're living in, that is beyond that. Or the need of modern times is beyond that. All of this is coming from that individual takabbur and that collective takabbur. And then the third level is that a person manifests this takabbur with humanity, with other people. And about this, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person has even one small drop of takabbur in their heart, then that person will not be able to enter into Jannah. Now, what are the cures of how can a person treat himself of takabbur? There are many cures that our mashayikh have mentioned, but one very effective cure is that we should view ourselves lower than all other fellow Muslims. Imam Hazrat Aqdus Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he has said that for a person who wants to treat this problem of arrogance, you should make a dua to Allah Ta'ala, and in that dua he should make two particular duas to Allah Ta'ala often, bar-bar, continuously every day you should be making these two duas, especially to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those two duas? Number one, he says that he should make to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I am lower than all my fellow Muslims. Allah, I am lower than all my fellow Muslims. And then secondly, that Allah, I am actually lower than all, even the unbelievers, even the animals. I'm lower than them. Fil mal, yani, in terms of anjam, I'm lower than them. And he should keep on repeating these sentences over and over again, until the reality of these two sentences sinks inside that person. Now, it's difficult to understand. Maybe person might be able to understand the first statement, but maybe not be able to understand the second one. But there's a lot of hikmat here in these two sentences. Imam Rabbani and many other mashayikh, they've written that this is really necessary for a believer, that if they want to have kamil iman and they want to be able to experience the sweetness and pleasure of that kamil iman, they can only do so when they start viewing themselves as the worst than every other fellow Muslim, and even worse than all the unbelievers. That's a very strange statement. But why would they say this? So the way they explain this is that first step, we should view ourselves lower than all our fellow Muslimin. Why? Because who knows what good deed that Muslim might have done. Maybe that good deed that they have done might be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and we have no idea that the sins that we have done maybe will be picked on those sins and will be punished for those sins on the Day of Judgment. So we don't know Qubuliyah, we don't know who is accepted and who is rejected. We don't know what these actions, how these actions will fare in Akhirah. Like the poet used to say that, do you know who has been accepted and who has been rejected? It's only on the Day of Judgment when the mizan, the scales will come out, then we will be able to tell that what is genuine and what is artificial, what is fake. Then within Muslimin you have two types of people, older and younger. So we should view ourselves as lower than both, who are older than us and who are younger than us. We should think of someone who's older, that they spent so many more Ramadans than we did. They must have more company of the mashayikh than I did. They had more opportunity to do more good deeds than I. And if someone is younger than us, we should think that they're better than us also. Why? He's so young. Maybe he never got a chance to do a sin. Or how many sins could he have done in such a young age? So those who are older than us, we should view them as better, because we're thinking about their good deeds, they have more good deeds. And those who are younger than us, they're better, because they have fewer sins than us. So now we understand why we should view ourselves lower than all of our fellow Muslims, whether they're old or young. But then the second statement, that you should view yourself even lower than an unbeliever, kafir. How is that possible? So they explain this, that we should view ourselves lower than an unbeliever, and we should view this in terms of future. That for an unbeliever, for a believer, we should say that I am right now at this moment, at this present time, I'm worse than my fellow Muslimin. However, for the unbelievers, we should view ourselves worse than them in the future. Because it is possible in the future that the unbeliever might accept Islam. He might die in a state which is much better than mine. So the fact that he has the potential to accept Islam, if he accepts Islam, then Allah Ta'ala can forgive everything. All his past is forgiven. And if I get to Qiyamah, my sins are still with me. So that person, he has the potential to be much better than me. And it's quite possible that in the future, he might actually become quite better than me. Hence, even the unbelievers, they're better than us. And then the mashayikh, they take it one step further, which is extremely difficult to understand, that you should even view the animals to be better than us. And this is very difficult for a person to understand and accept. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah has coined a story in his Masnavi. It's a hypothetical story, a dialogue which happens between a dog and a person. And it so happens that they are in a field, and the man is coming from one side, the dog is coming from the other side, and the pathway itself is very narrow. It's enough for only one person to pass through. And on the other side, on either side of that pathway, there is dirt, there is a ditch, you can say there is mud, and if you fall in that ditch, then you will soil your clothes. Your clothes will become dirty, filthy. So the dialogue that he quotes in his Masnavi is between this dog and this human being who are approaching. And this human being, he says to that dog that, you are an animal, I am Ashraful Makhlukat, so can you give way to me? If I put myself down, then I will soil my clothes, but you are a dog, you're already najis, So nothing will happen to you because you're already impure. So if you can gladly and if you can just go down kindly so that you can allow me to pass through. So then from the other side, the dog replies that yes, you're right that you're Ashraful Makhlukat, I'm Najis, and yes, I'm already impure. However, I was willing to walk down, I was willing to make way for you, but then this other thought came to my mind that if I go down and make way for you, then what will happen is that you will feel about yourself that you're better than me. On the other hand, if I stand in the way and if you enable me to pass by and you make way for me and you step down and make way for me, then what will happen is that you will soil your clothes, but you will protect your heart. You will be able to save your heart from this arrogance. Otherwise, you might be able to save your clothes, but you will damage your heart, you will soil your heart. So then, this is what happens. This is what Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah is saying, that you should view yourself even worse than animals. Why? Because again, this is something that you can reflect on. That when you look at dog, for example, it's much more loyal to his owner than we are loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many qualities that dogs, animals have. Qualities of loyalty, obedience. They're zahid. They are humble. They're trustworthy. There's so many qualities. And Mashaykh, they say that even if one of these qualities was present inside a person, then they would become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dog, if the owner beats his dog, the dog will run away a little bit, but then will come back. He will never leave his owner. He will always sling back, come back. And if you look at us, when we have some difficulty in this world, tough time, we leave the masjids. We just ask someone, then where were you? He says that I'm having a very tough time, I'm having a very difficult time. So you know, when we're in times of difficulty, we leave, the first thing that we leave is the door of the masjid. But the dog never leaves his owner. No matter what the owner can throw stones at him, the dog always comes back. Always. You know, in this area of Punjab, there's a poet who said some incredible poetry about a dog. It's Punjabi, but you won't understand that. But it's beautiful the way that the poets and the mashayikh have opened this up and shown how sometimes even animals are better than us. Similarly, horses are better than us. And after looking at all these examples, that's what he's mentioning, that's what these mashayikh mention, that if we were to open up this reality, then we would realize and we would know that truly we are worse than every Muslim, we're worse than any unbeliever, and we're also worse than animals. Number three, even worse than the animals. This is the humility that we should have. That we're not as loyal, as obedient as we should be. And this is something a person can make dua to Allah Ta'ala. That Ya Allah, this is true because you know I am in present worse than all other fellow Muslimin. And Allah, I am in future, in terms of my future, worse than all the unbelievers, all the other people in this world. This is a very effective way that a person can treat their arrogance. Another very simple way, this might be a bit difficult, but a very simple way through which a person can remove arrogance is actually through shukr of Allah Ta'ala, being grateful for the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Because what we have to understand and realize is that whatever ni'mat that we get, whatever kamal that you're getting, whatever perfection that you have, whether it's deen or dunya, we should never attribute that goodness to our own self, to our own nafs. We should always think that this kamal, this perfection, it belongs to that perfect being. We are just given this by someone who is the owner of this perfection. So we should always attribute any goodness, any blessing back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sare kamalat, all the kamalat, they're coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing given by Allah Ta'ala, a rahmat which is given by Allah Ta'ala. So anytime anyone praises you, You should listen to that person's praise, and then you should praise Allah Ta'ala. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And make dua that, oh Allah, you just saw, I just saw for my own self, Allah, that you have hidden my flaws, you have hidden all my sins, all my defects. Such flaws that if they were to become manifest and apparent to people around me, not one of them would want to sit next to me. They would flee from my sohbah, from my gathering. But Allah, it's only your sattari. It's only that you have covered me up. You have covered the flaws inside of me, and you have made apparent the goodness that is inside of me. The goodness that you have given me, that part you just made apparent to other people. So it's your doing, Ya Allah. And that's why, Allah, I'm grateful to you for your sattari, for your covering my sins, and for you that you have made other people see the goodness that you have given to me, that you have given to me. This shukr of Allah Ta'ala, this is extremely powerful. We have underestimated the importance of shukr. Being grateful to Allah Ta'ala, when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you should say that with meaning and with feeling. That yes, all kamalat, all hamd, all tarif, every single kind of praise belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is really the Zat to whom all of this belongs. Everything that I have, it's coming from Allah Ta'ala. It's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And shukr will save you from takabbur. Why? Because understand, shukr is a sabab-e-qurb. And takabbur is a sabab-e-bu'd. What does this mean? This means that shukr is that cause which brings a person close to Allah, and takabbur is a cause which makes a person distant from Allah Ta'ala. And know that these two causes can never be conjoined inside a human being at the same time. You can never have shukr and still be mutakabbir. And on the other hand, you can never be mutakabbir and still be a person of shukr. They're two polar opposites. So it's now a choice that which option do we want to pick up. That's why that person who exercises shukr, he will automatically save himself from arrogance. It's very easy for us to understand, you know, what the hakikat of shukr is. You know, if let's say there is a father who gives a sweater to his son, and the son is very proud of that sweater, he wears that sweater, flaunts that sweater, but he never mentions his father's name. He never tells anyone that I was given this sweater by my father. My father gave it to me. What will happen? The father will become upset that he is priding on the fact that he's wearing this amazing sweater, but he's not even remembering me. And on the other hand, if that same son, he wears that sweater, however, he tells everyone that my father gave it to me, the father will be happy. The father will be very happy that, look, my son is wearing that sweater, but he's also telling other people that my father gave it to me. Exactly in the same way, if you have any blessing from Allah Ta'ala, Allah wants you to enjoy that blessing, to use that blessing, to live in that blessing. But you also then praise Allah Ta'ala, you are grateful to Allah Ta'ala, you attribute all the kamalat and perfection to Allah Ta'ala, because that's all those kamalat belong to Him. And never do you attribute any kamal to your own self. Any praise, you praise Allah Ta'ala. And a person can use all those blessings that they have. Islam is not against using those blessings or enjoying those blessings or feeling happy about those blessings. Islam, Allah Ta'ala really wants that a person should bring their happiness to a high degree. That it's Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who gave me these blessings, that Allah was so kind and merciful to me. And that's why your relationship, your thoughts are about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You return those blessings back to Allah Ta'ala. You think about those blessings and they're a reminder that connect you back to Allah Ta'ala. So you go from that low level happiness to a high level happiness. That Allah gave it to me. And that will save you from takabbur. And this is, you know, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who knows how to give us blessing, He also knows how to take those blessings away. But through shukr, Allah will put more barakah in your blessings. Allah will increase your blessings. La in shakartum la azidannakum. Your blessings will certainly increase. And as a major benefit, Allah will also protect you from arrogance, from takabbur. So shukr is a very easy remedy. But it's a very effective and powerful remedy against takabbur. And the last thing is that a person should try to be humble. Humbleness is an attribute that we should also work on. And the best example of humbleness is to take lessons from the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from earth, and there is a reason for that. All of us are made from this earth, it's the substance of the earth. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was made of this. Shaitan was made out of fire. And the reason is because when you're made out of earth, we want also to get those sifat of earth inside of us. Everything before we die, if we can become like the earth, then we will be peaceful when we go inside the earth. Our asal is being like the earth, and our home is the earth. So if we can have those earth-like feelings inside of us, then our grave and the period inside the earth will also be very peaceful. It won't be difficult. So having earth-like qualities, it makes it easy for us to face that difficulty. In Surah Naba, there is an ayat which mentions that the unbelievers will look at the torments of Qiyamah and they will say that, oh, I wish I was dirt. Turaba, I was like mud. And in the tafsir of that ayah, the ulama mention that what that means is that I wish I did not exist. However, the awliya, they take it one step ahead and they say that what that means is that, oh, I wish I had been like the earth. So if I was like the earth, I would not have had this destination. So these sifat of the earth, they connect a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look, the earth has this ability of covering up, that sattari. It covers things, it hides things like treasures. People who have this sifat, they also hide the faults of other people. If you cover the faults of others, Allah ta'ala will hide your faults on the Day of Judgment. We tell other people not to tell our faults in front of others. If we don't cover up for others now, then we will be exposed in front of all humanity on the Day of Judgment. This cures a person. When you have this ability of covering other people, doing satar poshi, hiding other people's faults, this cures a person from many, many diseases. It cures a person from anger, from envy, from negative thinking. This is what people teach you, that you should have such a thinking. This is what we should teach our children. This is part of their tarbiyah, that you should have positive thinking. You should cover the faults of other people. And then the other sifat which earth has is that earth is humble. And we see this all the time. People walk on it, pound on it. It's something we use, something we abuse. And if we can also have that same humility inside of us, that's what is matloob. And the more a person becomes humble, the more maqam that person has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Then when a person acquires humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rafa'ah. Allah gives elevation to that person. And this is something which all of us, we should consciously try to work on. Adopting humility. Becoming people of humbleness. Once there was a person who went to Khwaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayh and asked him that, oh Shaykh, no, there are some people who are so humble, they're so erased that nobody even knows them. And then when they die, along with their death, all of a sudden, people start to have so much love for them that they become very famous after their death. And he says, I've seen some people who are very famous when they're alive, but as soon as they die, it seems that everyone forgets them. It seems as if their names and their memories are buried along with them. So what's the reason for this? You know, these two kinds of individuals, what's the reason? What's the wisdom here? So the Sheikh gave the answer. He said that the person who in this world wants that people should praise me, people should recognize me, that I should be famous, I should be celebrated, I should be a celebrity, then as soon as that person dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala buries all of his fame with him. All of that fame goes away. And that person who lives his life hiding himself, erasing himself, he wants that nobody should know who I am, nobody should recognize me, that person, as soon as he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the love for him in the hearts of people, and all of creation will have love for him. So that means that the asal, the real thing, is that we should try to erase ourselves, efface ourselves, become humble. This is an attribute which is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the attribute of our elders, of our mashayikh. This is the attribute that you find in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah. The Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she mentions that the Prophet was very humble. Was so humble, such humility, such simplicity. And same thing with the Sahaba. Very, very humble individuals. So I'll mention one or two things and then we'll end. One is the dua that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to make. That Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghiran wa fi ayun an-nasi kabira. That Allah make me small in my eyes and make me big in the eyes of other people. So small in my eyes means Allah make me humble in my own eyes, but grant me honor in the eyes of other people. Why? Because he was the Khalifa Amir al-Mu'mineen. He needed to establish the deen, and therefore he needed that others should honor him so that they will listen to his decisions, follow his justice. So if you reflect on this, is this dua, that this can actually become a cure for our takabbur, for our arrogance. That Allah make me small, make me humble in my own eyes. And last thing, we'll mention a hadith and then we'll end the talk. Imam Razi rahmatullah in his tafsir has mentioned this hadith. Yet Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallam, and when he came, it was a sahabi by the name of Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu who was walking by. So when the Prophet was with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam saw that sahabi and said that Abu Zar is coming, that here comes Abu Zar. So the Prophet, when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet that here Abu Zar is coming, so the Prophet said that, O Jibreel, how do you know Abu Zar? How do you know that this is Abu Zar? The Prophet was a bit surprised, was a bit taken aback. So then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam in response said that, O Allah's Messenger, he is one of the most famous of your companions among the Malaika. He is the most famous of your companions among the angels. And he, just like however famous he is amongst your companions, he is even more famous amongst the angels in the heaven. So then the Prophet ﷺ asked that, O Jibreel, what gave Abu Zar this virtue? What gave him this status? Then the angels know him? That he is less famous here, but he is very famous amongst the Malaika? So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said that the reason, Ya Rasulullah, is that Abu Zar himself views himself as nothing. Allahu Akbar Kabira. لِسِغْرِهِ فِي نَفْسِهِ. That he views himself as if he is nothing. And number two, وَكَسْرَةُ قِرَاءَتِهِ He reads the Quran a lot. So because of these two things, that he views himself as lowly and he reads the Quran a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised his status amongst the angels. So then the lesson for us is that that person who truly views himself lowly, he might be less famous amongst people, but he will become famous on the Arsh. He'll be famous amongst the angels. And therefore, after tonight, you know, we should make this intention in our heart that, Ya Allah, this month of Ramadan, let this month be a month of change for all of us. And Allah, a change in terms of changing and purifying our heart of all the spiritual ailments, and especially this ailment of takabbur, this ailment of conceit, arrogance inside of us. And Ya Allah, we ask you by the barakah of this month of Ramadan to enable all of us to adopt humility, to adopt this character of tawazu and humbleness, because this is the secret of success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That truly whoever becomes humble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is given izzat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability, this attribute of tawazu, and may Allah ta'ala save all of us from this disease of takabbur and arrogance. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى وحمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك الشوق إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين